Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, when we are one in unity, the Word of Spirit of the Lord comes in and begins to build and strengthen. And folks, this is a year of building relationships. Relationships with our loved ones. Relationships with one another. Amen. Hallelujah. How are we to treat one another? How do you know we're supposed to love one another? Does anybody, give me a smile, even if it's a fake smile. Hallelujah. You know we're supposed to love one another. Build up one another and never tear down. Is that right? I'll tell you what, I don't want to tear down anything but the things that are not of God. That's what I want to tear down. But the things that are of God, which are the people of God, woo, come on, I want to build them up. I want to strengthen them. Let those relationships grow. Your relationship with God growing every day. Every time you open the Word of God and you look at it, your relationship begins to grow a little more, a little more, a little more. It's incredible and it's crazy. Isn't that right? Man, I'm excited. Today's baptism Sunday. How many can tell? Can you tell that we're going to baptize some folks today? Amen? Hallelujah. Your dew is being renewed like the eagles. How many of you know the Word of God says that to you? Hallelujah. How many of you feel a little old today? Anybody in the house? Well, I'm going to tell you, let me just say this to you. The Word of God says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you're with God, when you spend time with God, you spend time in His presence, spend time looking at the things, meditating on the Word of God. Ooh, how many of you like that? Is that right? Anybody don't like that? Your strength, to be strengthened. Do you know that the God that created the heavens and the earth, the one that called the light to be, the one that called the heavens, the one that said stars and moons, do you know that He, the Word of God says in Psalm 68:28 says this, that God, the same God that commanded the light, God has commanded your strength. Do you know that? He's commanded it to you. There's a command that says, God, your command to me is to be strong. How many like being strong? I went to pick up some bricks the other day. Yesterday, was it that, John? We had some bricks out here laying out the frame of this thing just to kind of straighten it out because it's coiled up. And I carried them from the back. Whoa. Let me tell you, I said, Lord, your word says that you have commanded my strength and that helped me to carry these things back. They're just two bricks, man. I don't want to get into my past. Amen. But I would just say, God has commanded your strength. If anybody's just not feeling, if you're just feeling like even your body is talking against you, tell it to shut up. Amen. Take some authority over it and say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of it. You know what? You can stop doing that. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I am whole, and my strength is in the joy of the Lord. The Bible says, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And you are, folks, you might not know this, but you are in His presence this morning. He's here in the building. In His presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So receive what God has for you this morning. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about baptism. Hallelujah. How many of you like baptisms? I love baptisms. As a young man, I was when I was raised in the Catholic Church. Excuse me if I turn my back to you a little bit. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I don't remember getting baptized. Anybody like that in the Catholic Church? I mean, I was sprinkled, and my mom said I cried a little bit, but I don't remember it. And let me tell you something. I was raised in the Catholic Church by, I was taught by priests. Is that okay? Is that cool? Yeah, it was cool. And I have a great respect for the Catholic Church because they did teach me about God. They taught me how to reverence God and to respect God. And I love them for that. Hallelujah. But somehow God seemed fit to, I was going to become a priest. Did you know that? I was set on being a priest till I saw Rosie. And I said, oh, misdirection. Amen. Come on, man. And so, yeah, so. But I was raised in the Catholic Church and didn't really know God. Is that okay? Just didn't really know. I was an altar boy, but I knew the mass in Latin. Is that okay? I said the whole thing in Latin. It was kind of weird because I didn't know what I was saying. Dominus Gibuscum, et tu spirit, tu tu all, something like that. And I didn't know it, but I did figure it out. It was, God be with you. Lord be with you and also with you. I'm saying all that because that baptism is very, very special to us. How many of you know that? It is something that God has ordained. Jesus, when he went to John the Baptist, if you remember, John the Baptist didn't want to baptize him. But Jesus said, hey, let's do this. This is what we should do to fulfill all righteousness. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But I want to talk about the first baptism. Hallelujah. The first baptism that the word talks about, and I didn't really realize it till I had finished reading the Bible through, and I started about 4 weeks ago, I started at Genesis again, and I was reading about the flood. And how many of you know that the flood was the first baptism the world ever saw? Do you know that? It was a baptism. Man. I hope we never see a baptism like that. What do you think? Yeah. Everybody be flocking to submarines. We got to find us a submarine somewhere. Amen. But it was quite a time. So I'm going to give you a few things that I enjoyed looking at the flood. And Noah and his grandparents, grandfathers. The Bible says in Genesis, and I'm not sure if I gave you this scripture, the first one about Noah, said that his, Genesis 6:9, did I give you that scripture, guys? The word of God says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Do you guys remember anybody else that walked with God in the Old Testament and what happened to him? What was his name? Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says that God took him. Is that right? Is that cool? I think that's cool. Come on, man. Come with me. I want to take you someplace and show you a city, a kingdom. Man, I said, man, I would love to see what Enoch saw that one fine day. Amen. Genesis 6:9 says this. That it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah's great-grandfather was Methuselah. Do you have any idea who Methuselah was? Was the oldest man that lived in the Bible, is that right? It says Methuselah was 187 when Lamech was born. Methuselah lived after the birth of Lamech 782 years. So 187 years plus 782 makes 969 years old. Is that cool? 969 years old. Genesis 5:28 says that Lamech was 182 when Noah was born. Lamech was 182 years old when Noah was born. Lamech lived after the birth of Noah 595 years. Is that okay? Long time, huh? Sweet. So 182 years plus 595 years is what? Does anybody figure it out real quick? I need some mathematicians. 777 years old. Some of you can look at your Bible too, it'll tell you. 777 years was how old Noah's dad was. Noah's grandfather lived 969 years. 187 years, which was Methuselah, was the time between Methuselah and his son Lamech. 187 plus 182 years, which was the time between Lamech and Noah, equals 369 years. So 369 years minus 969 years. How many years does Methuselah have to live? Anybody? 369 from 969 is how much? 600. Thank you very much. 600. So 600 years. 600 years was how much time Noah had with his grandfather, Methuselah. Isn't that cool? 600 years. When I began to look at it, I was like, man, you know, I always thought that it was Shem, Ham, and Japheth that helped Noah build the ark. But you know what I feel? I feel that his granddaddy and his great-granddaddy helped him build that boat. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool. Genesis 5:32 says that Noah was 500 years old and had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Not sure if they were triplets, sorry. Not sure. They might have been. But when he was 500 years old, he had three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 7:6 says that Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters broke upon the earth. Do you know that? He was 600 years old. So that tells me something. Lamech, Noah's dad, died before his dad. Because Lamech lived 595 years after Noah was born. So Lamech died 5 years before the flood. Methuselah lived 600 years, and in the 600th year, that's when the flood came. So Methuselah died just before the flood. Isn't that crazy? That's cool, man. The Bible says that he was perfect in all his generations. And then, of course, the flood came. The doors, God closed the doors. It told Moses, get everybody in, get all the birds, get everything inside. Don't forget that. Do you guys remember that song? The rats and cats and animals and, Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just don't see a unicorn. Do you guys remember that song? No, nobody remembers that song? There's no unicorn. Yeah. Closed up the ark. 40 days and 40 nights, that ark. It rained and rained and rained. God broke up the depths of beneath the earth. And I don't know, I believe that there was a water package that was above the earth. I believe that. I don't know. You can see it where in Peter where he's talking about how the earth is standing within in the old days, it was standing within the water and outside the water. Outside the water and within the water. I believe some of those caverns that we see, like the Grand Canyon, and some of these deep, deep caverns are a result of the flood. When the flood waters broke the heavens, I believe that the earth, I mean, this is just my own belief. I mean, okay, I'm not telling you that you can't find this in Scripture so much. There's a little words here and there. But I believe that the earth was floating, had a water body beneath the earth that kept it cool, and it watered the earth all the time. And there was also a canopy around the earth of water that filtered the sun rays, made it like a great big garden all the time. But when God broke up the waters of the deep, is what it says, somehow that shell cracked, began to pressurize that water that was beneath the shell. The shell shot water up into the heavens, into the skies, and broke that canopy. and ruptured the canopy, and the water come down into the earth and covered the earth. Somehow that shell, when it lost all that support of the water that was beneath it, began to collapse in on itself and began to pop up mountains, and things began to change. The landscape began to change in the earth, and it's crazy, huh? I like it. 40 days and 40 nights while they were in that ship and in that boat that Noah had built. Lost my paper. What did I do with it? Anybody see? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did I put it? Hallelujah. Got away from me. 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says that the water covered the mountains. What's the highest mountain on the earth right now? Is it Everest? Mount Everest. The Bible says it was covered by 15 cubits, which is about, one cubit is about 18 inches, so it was 22.5 feet above Mount Everest. That's deep. Is that right? That makes this little valley right here full of water. And you know what? It's not just that God stacked up water above Mount Everest. I mean, this was the level of the water all around the earth. It's crazy. 22.5 feet. Says that the Word of God says that the waters prevailed over the earth for 120 days. So for 120 days, the water sat above the earth. I mean, not above, the sat on the earth. And then after 120 days, it started to dissipate. It started to, a sewage is what the word of God says. The water began to go somewhere. I don't know where. I got no idea where that all that water went. Where's it going to go? What do you think? Who knows? God knows how he got the water off. Noah, on the 600th year, he entered in the ark on the second month, the 17th day of the month. And the 601st year of his life, on the second month, the 27th day of the month, he came out of that ship, came out of the boat, out of the ark. He spent approximately a year and 10 days. Isn't that cool? Wow, I like it. But how do we get this to, how does it look like the baptism? What makes it look like the baptism, or actually to be a type of baptism, is the fact that God had said the wickedness is covering the earth, violence is covering the earth. He said, I will destroy man, and I will wash that out, and I will create things new, brand new. Amen? And that's a baptism. Get rid of the old stuff and have something new. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go to John the Baptist. Let's go talk to him a little bit. Hallelujah. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 1. And what I'm going to do is on certain verses, I'm going to stop and read and show you what the Amplified says for that verse. Because I think it's very important that we kind of understand what John the Baptist is saying here and then what Jesus tells him towards the end. And so, you guys ready back there? Yeah? Okay. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are able, Father, to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as we read your word, Father, you can show us things that we've never seen before. Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would reveal your word to us this morning. Pull the covering off, Father God. Release the seals, Father God, that might be in our hearts, Father God, from seeing in reality what you're saying to us, Father. Father, I thank you for it. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Open our hearts. Let us hear from you, Father. We love you. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. I just love God. Amen. You know, I just got to say, I just love God. Folks, I'm not religious at all. Not religious. How many of you say, oh, yeah, well, you're a pastor. I just love God, and I want to do what he has for me to do. Amen? I just love God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many like getting close to God? Hallelujah. Do you know that God wants to get close to you? He loves getting close to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want to read that in the Amplified, and hope they get this up in the Amplified. This is the Amplified Bible. It gives it a little more detail, which I like. Sometimes it can get really lengthy when you're reading an Amplified Bible. Is that right, Gary? Sometimes it can get long, but here's what the Amplified says. It says, verse 2 says this, saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct. Amen? Everybody say amen. Come on, that's what I like. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's verse 2. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says this. We'll go on. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and honey. Everybody say yum. Locusts and honey. And when they then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and to all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Amen? Confessing their sins. How many of you know with God it's important that you confess your sins? If you don't know him, if you've never dealt with God, the first thing to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing anything that's wrong, anything that's different than what you would have me to do. That's what you say to God. Makes it easy, is that right? Because God loves you. And he wants you to say, hey, God, can you forgive me? And he says, I will. Amen? Hey, if you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7 says this, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, he's a nice guy, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8 says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In the Amplified Bible, verse 8 says this, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. Isn't that nice? Let your life prove that you've had a change of heart. Huh. Oh, man. Let your life prove that you've had a change of heart. You say you're a Christian? Yeah. Let your life prove that. Amen? How do you live? How do you think? Let your life prove it. That's the Amplified. The Amplified says, you say you're a Christian? Prove it. Prove it, bro. Just prove it. Hey, the way I prove it? I live my life in a way that is consistent with what God has asked us to do. Amen? Come on. It's not hard. It's actually fun. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 11 in the Amplified says this, I indeed baptize you with water because of repentance, because you're repentant. That is because of your changing of your mind for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence, hating of your past sins. Abhorrence. Hallelujah. I was talking to John this morning. We were just talking about our wives and how it was before we knew the Lord. John said, I hated the way I was treating my wife. And I remember that time, and I said, man, I did. I hated the way I was treating her. And when I look back at it now, it hurts me still because of the way I had been treating her in those years. How much better would our life have been if, isn't that right, John? If I wasted years of not treating my wife right. And it still hurts today. I mean, when I think about it, I go, oh, man. Now I hate the way I was back then. Abhorring. Who I was back then. Isn't that crazy? It's funny. That's not funny. I mean, but it's awesome what God will do to a heart. Isn't that right? It's amazing what he does to hearts, to people's hearts. How he touches them and how he speaks to them. And so it's just amazing. Verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist is talking about Jesus. He says he's got a fan in his hand. He's got a fan in his hand. Hallelujah. Do you know who his fan is, folks? His name is the Holy Spirit. That's his fan. And he's going to burn up all the stuff that's not good in your life. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. Man, that's not good. Man, stop doing that, all right? Okay, God, I will stop doing that. God, I just want to do what you want me to do, God. Well, stop doing that. Okay, God, I'll stop doing that. That the Holy Spirit is the fan, and he will burn up all that unquenchable fire. He'll burn it all up, man. He'll bring it to a point because he's going to make you an item of preciousness with God. An item of great value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My kids don't know the way I was with my wife. And then when they finally heard about it, they were, what? Who is this guy? God changes lives, folks. He really, really does. He's a life changer. Hallelujah. His fan is in his hand. Verse 13 says this, then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me? John looked at him, he goes, I know who you are. You're my cousin, but you're more than my cousin. When I heard your mama's voice, I jumped for joy in my mama's womb. I know who you are. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are he that I've been talking about. And you want me to baptize you? I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. Oh, man, don't you just love getting close to Jesus? I love getting close to Jesus. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you, Lord. That's my desire. If you guys want to sing this with me. Just to be close to you. Hallelujah. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. Oh, just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. How many of you has that's your desire? Isn't it funny when Jesus come to John? But what if Jesus was singing the song to us? Let's sing it one more time. Just to be close to you. See, Jesus wants to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. Hey, just to be close to you. I wanna be close to you. He's singing to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. You see, Jesus knew exactly what baptism was. Listen to me, listen. He knew exactly what he was just going to. You know that Jesus had no sins. And when he came up to John the Baptist, John said, you baptize me. He says, no, you baptize me. This is the way we fulfill all righteousness. And I can imagine John taking his cousin, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and kneeling down with him in the water. I believe they both went down. I believe that. I believe. What Jesus knew was that this is what I'm going to do for the whole world. I am going to lay my life down, but my Father is going to take it right back up again. This is baptism, folks. This is what baptism is. Getting rid of the old thing and bringing up something new. Hallelujah. It is only God that can change your heart. You might be trying to change your heart, but you can't do it. You're not strong enough to change your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the only one. He's the only one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just to be close to you. Oh. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. Just to be close to you. Close to you. Just to be close to you. That's my desire. Oh, sing it louder, sing it. Just to be close to you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21 says this. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited for the days of who? Noah. While the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, this like the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection, folks. The resurrection is the important part of going under the water and coming back up. That's the part. That's the part that God says, new man. Old things are washed away. All things become new to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh, I have one. I want to be baptized this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Glory to God. We're just about, I don't want to take up too much more time. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 says this, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Come on, hallelujah. Knowing this, and then verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from now on," he says, "we should not serve sin." Everybody say, come on, man. Just as when the children of Israel went through the Red Sea and the Egyptians chased them into the Red Sea as a form of baptism, this is a picture of baptism, and the waters covered them, broke their authority over them forever. Hallelujah. You should not serve sin. You don't have to serve sin. Isn't that cool? Come on. That's good, Pastor Henry. Yeah, praise God. Verse 7 says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." I'm going to, one more scripture, Romans 8, 10 and 11 says this, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Isn't that good? That's a good word for you right there. His Spirit that's dwelling in you right now. That same Spirit. Anything going on, anything you need, it'll quicken you so that you might have what God is trying to give you. Hallelujah. Whether it be health, mental awareness, whatever it is, God wants to give it to you. And it's his Spirit that quickens you into that. And that's the only way you get it. Amen. God says this, "I am the God that healeth thee." Not Bayer. Tylenol. God says, "I am the God that heals you." Period. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to see some folks get baptized? I know I am. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But let me just pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word, God. Father, your word says that it's going to go out and it will not return void. But it will accomplish. It will accomplish. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do, Father. So I thank you for that. Jesus has accomplished that in our lives, God, and I give you praise and glory. So bless my brothers and sisters this morning as they watch, Father God. Father, if they desire to be baptized, Father, quicken them. Let them come in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Sometime during this baptism, somebody might feel like, hey, you know what? I feel like I want to go get baptized. Just jump to your feet and come on down. Is that okay? Because that could be God speaking to you. Come. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor John.
Whenever Jesus got baptized, says that a voice came from heaven, and it was his Father's voice. And he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." And so what I want to tell all of you that are getting baptized today, that is the word that your Father in heaven has for you today. Whatever your name is, if it's not Jesus, whatever your name is, the Father is saying, You are my son or my daughter, and in you I am well pleased.